the Talking Games Podcast.
Welcome back. This is the Talking Games Podcast, episode 117. I'm here with Shinobi. Thank you for joining me, dude. Thank you very much. This is our EGX coverage for this year. There has been some madness going on. We were only there for Saturday to do some covering of games and do some interviews. But since that time, there has just been an absolute number of craziness going on throughout today. Okay, we're going to get into all of it that's happened over the EGX, but this has just happened now, literally as we just started recording. Just Stop Oil has attacked the Tekken 7 final stand. You know where they were doing the Tekken 7 tournament, the big stand? Just Stop Oil has just attacked it with paint.
What's that got to do with oil?
I posted this to Twitter.
What's that got to do with oil?
I have no idea. It's got nothing to do with oil, but this has literally just happened. As we've gone on air, Just Stop Oil has attacked the Tekken 7 stand, the big tournament. They sprayed the giant screen behind them with green paint. They put paint all over the 2,000-pound computers they've got out front. They're standing there going, we're here to stop oil and gas. What has a gaming convention got to do with their protest? Nobody there has anything to do with the government or corporations that they're trying to target. It's just a bunch of, like, people playing video games. You're basically just destroying an event, and then you think you're going to post it on Twitter and people are going to support you. You're a moron.
Well, when I play Ace Combat, I do blow up oil refineries.
That's not the same thing. But this is just beyond stupid, right? So, Henry Stockdale is a journalist over at, what's it called? I forgot the publication he's working for. Upload VR, sorry. Apologies, Henry, if you're listening. But he did just comment on this. Once you get your pass, you could just walk into the hall without any bag searches. Not even slightly surprised they managed to get through security so easily. This is that. EGX needs better security.
They search the crap out of me, man. They look for everything.
They didn't do it to me. I opened my bag and they were like, yep, cool, let me through. They didn't even look through the bags properly. But the thing is that this is it's only just happened. This is beyond stupid. You are not going to get the people you want on side anything done by attacking EGX of all places.
They definitely ain't using that security company again.
It's G4S. Don't change it.
They lost the contract.
Yeah. Henry did go on, disrupting a community event like this and damaging their equipment will win you no favours. As an environmentalist and someone normally supporting the cause, pick your battles better. All this company is making you look like an arse, which is 100% accurate. Apologies if you can hear the dog barking in the background.
Yeah, but, who let the dogs out? I mean, put your dog away, man.
Yeah, let's try that again. Anyway, there's a lot of other stuff that's been going on with EGX over the last couple of days. We've had, obviously, I think it was Thursday, three gentlemen interrupted the EGX theatre to shout at the female panellists. Really extreme.
Sorry, say that again?
So on Thursday, before when the EGX started, they had an all-female panel. Basically answering questions about the game development and stuff. And there was three gentlemen in the crowd who attended who decided to shout at these three women. I have no idea, but asking which one was effable, which one would they rather bang, which, you know, this just disgusting behaviour. We're trying to find out who those three are. We are in contact with the organisers at EGX to get the names of those three people. We will make them public, whether they want to or not. And there was also an incident that happened today as we left, because this has just been reported by another press journalist who was in the press room upstairs. For starters, press room, I know there was members of the public and stuff coming upstairs. You're not allowed upstairs. That is just for industry people.
Yeah, that tea's mine, mate.
And yeah. That tea was disgusting. I'm sorry for EGX.
I made him a disgusting tea, but I have mine without milk. He likes milk.
Yeah, I have to drink milk. I can't drink tea black. But there was somebody who came upstairs, and anybody who's been to EGX, anyone who works in the industry will know we are very inclusive. We have a lot of people from different ethnic minorities, we have a lot of people from all walks of life, we have people of different sexualities, and unfortunately, one of the creators that turned up at EGX, who is a YouTuber, we don't know who it is just yet, however, they decided to yell extremely homophobic rants or homophobic slurs at some of the other journalists that were there. In case you're not aware, you're an idiot, because people will find out who you are. EGX are now currently investigating, and there are a number of fairly popular YouTubers at that event, so if you are one of those that will get found, you are going to be blacklisted from the industry by the looks of it. We have been in discussions with EGX and a couple of the other journalists that were there at the time, and they are trying to give descriptions and find out who this person is exactly. But I think it's probably going to be a matter of time before that is found, found out who this person is. And their career in covering games is pretty much over, because by the sounds of it, they're getting blacklisted from EGX permanently. And that includes all Repop events. So if you don't know what Repop is, they also manage E3 and PAX. So no matter where you are, you're not going to really get into anywhere. And I think there's going to be a lot of journalists and publishers and developers that are going to be looking to blacklist this person. You just basically screwed up your entire career. But there was a lot going on at EGX. There was only, say, probably about 5-6 maybe AAA games. A lot of it was by Sega. Activision was there, although they didn't have any developers, unfortunately. Ubisoft was there. We did do an interview with Ubisoft. That'll be up on the website and on the YouTube channel in the next week. And there was also Nintendo was there with Super Mario Bros. Wonder. We're going to talk about those six main games. A lot of the indie games that were there, a lot of the VR games, we've already played or we've already spoke to and we've already seen at other events. So we're not going to go into them too much because we've already had a go of them, really. Some of them are already out as well, so I'm not going to go into them too much. Shout out to Yor Tittle from Wolf and Wood for C Smash. Absolute dynamite guy. He loved that. I love that studio. I love that company. They are definitely helping us with our own stuff. And I want to give a big shout out to them, because if you haven't played C Smash yet, it is on PSVR2. We did get some news about future releases on other platforms. I'm not going to ruin it just yet, because there is no confirmed official announcement. They don't want us to say anything, so I'm not going to. There is obviously industry journalists that know what's going on with that game and what their future plans are, so keep an eye out for that. We've also saw a couple of other small indie titles there as well. Shout out to the guys, Quailey. They were showing a couple of other big games. They got one that's just releasing this week. And there was a couple of horror games as well that are due to release this month, including Defeat 2. Which I did have a look at. We are going to be covering that as well over this week. I'm going to be speaking to the developers. And also shout out to Ubisoft, because they were really, really helpful. Really lovely bunch of people. I think they found us pretty hilarious, me and you, Shinobi.
Yeah, it was good. Your Woody Woodpecker nickname.
Yes.
You know what he kept doing? I was doing the interview, yeah, and he kept tapping the table with his hands. So
I couldn't help it. When I get nervous and I can't think of what else to say, I tend to tap. It's like a nervous, like,
he's tap dancing with his fingers, and his hand looked like a tarantula with tap dancing shoes on it. And then I called him Woody Woodpecker, and our friend, he couldn't do the interview properly. He kept laughing.
Yeah, that got stuck in his mind. He kept saying Woody was about to call himself Pecker. They were cracking themselves up, though. They did say we should be on TV. I did try and get, because I was hoping they still had GTV, because then they said you two should be on television. I went, put us on GTV.
They
got it. But they did mention they've got Twitch and stuff as well, so you never know. Me and Shinobi can have a spot on Ubisoft socials. Fingers crossed. Be nice.
Yeah.
But there is an absolutely huge amount that was going on at EGX. There's a lot of things going on before me.
I did love those guys. They were amazing.
Yeah. Benjamin Potts, shout out to Benjamin Potts, the animation director at Ubisoft Bordeaux. Absolutely lovely bloke.
Really? So the other guy, what's his name?
Callum, with one L, not two like ours.
But yeah, because our Callum went there, but don't worry, we found another one. So where is he?
Yeah, we find Callum's wherever we go, to be honest.
We got our Callum a new nickname, haven't we?
Yes, Mr. Whippy. I have said that to him this morning. He asked not to repeat that. Don't please call him Mr. Whippy.
Okay, because I came out of the XL and I saw an ice cream van. And I just had an epiphany. I just found a new name for him. And, yeah, it was just funny, man, that name. Yeah. I couldn't stop laughing. Yeah, I had a proper epiphany.
it is ridiculous, like this. Yeah, shout out to Callum and everyone else. I know there's a few people that couldn't make it this week. Next year we'll be back hopefully in full force because I'm going to invite the whole crew down to EGX. So there's going to be about the 9 of us swarming around. Hopefully, obviously, Bam's obviously in the US, so he can't make it. But then we have got a larger team that you guys don't see. So they hopefully will be there in force next year. Hopefully with our own stand as well, because I'm hoping that our game will be a little bit further along by then. By the time EGX comes along, we might do a big reveal. I am also currently in talks with EGX. I need to send them an email tomorrow to do something more with EGX. Because I would like to be closer involved, bring the company closer involved to EGX, because it is the biggest convention in the UK. E3 and Summer Games Fest are usually US-based. There isn't really big...
hold on, hasn't E3 stopped now?
E3 stopped for the next 2 years, but there's still, like, EGX as far as, like, PAX, you've got PAX E3, which is a big game convention in the US, it used to be, and EGX is the UK one.
What about Europe?
I'm not sure. I mean, you've got Gamescom in Germany, but there isn't that many other big, like, gaming conventions out there.
So technically, in the whole of Europe, we got the biggest gaming convention.
Oh, Gamescom is kind of big as well. It was, like, this year it was absolutely massive. They had a whole ton of, like...
Well, yeah, but are they still running?
Yes, Gamescom's still running.
Oh, okay.
It was running in the summer. But as far as the UK conventions go, you've got WAS and you've got EGX. And EGX was originally, like, the biggest gaming convention. It's kind of slowed down over this year. I'm a little bit disappointed about the size of what was on offer. I think there is... The problem with EGX is that they're slap bang in the middle of the Game Awards. You've got Gamescom, which was in August. Then you've really only got 2 months, so there isn't a huge amount you can show. I mean, they need to get, like, bigger stands. Maybe lower the price, but get some bigger publishers in. You know, you had that big thing with Sega, and you had Activision. Technically, you had Activision now, although they weren't really there, just had event staff there. But, you know, big publishers. You had Ubisoft had kind of a big stand, but a lot of it was, like, fans of, like, and World Wildlife Fund and stuff, and it's like random charities and, you know, people making stuff and they're selling stuff for, like, what they had on Etsy. That's nothing to do with a gaming convention. You need to have big elaborate stands. I want to see big, like, they used to have at E3 with, like, a remake of a city. They had, at one point, they had, like, a remake of, like, Diagon Alley from Harry Potter, and they carved it into, like, it looked like a proper, like, fantasy, like, restaurants in there and stuff. E3 was amazing as far as what it looked like. EGX, I'd like to kind of follow the same route. I know there's not going to be a lot of money because the place isn't absolutely packed. And the reason it's not absolutely packed is because you haven't got a lot going on. And I think one of the big things to bring people in, maybe do what Gamescom does, try and make it big. You know, I think it's kind of a scaled down budget, and I don't really like that because EGX, when I first went to EGX when I was about 17, that place was absolutely rammed with games.
But there's only one Nintendo game, Mario Wonder.
Yeah, that's because it's the latest one out.
Yeah, and Sega was a bit limited.
I mean, Sega had, like, 3 or 4 games. Activision obviously had the big new Modern Warfare 3.
I remember ECTS and all this stuff after, and Earl's Court, they had the game show as well. Do you remember? Yeah. They used to have tons of games back in the day. And, like, in those days, we had the biggest thing in Europe, but... they used to have tons of games, but today...
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest stands there was flipping TikTok.
Yeah, I mean, when we went there, it was like a skeletal structure of what once was. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, last year was obviously COVID issues, and they couldn't really do a lot last year.
No.
So it was even less last year than it was this year. And it's like they're kind of starting to bring it back, but at the same time, you need to have publishers and developers from everywhere come in, because there was a lot of space, and a lot of it was tables and chairs and just random, like, space in between everything, and there isn't a lot going on. Like, I would have loved to see Microsoft there. I would have loved to see PlayStation there. Nintendo was back, and they had, like, something like 50 screens there. Xbox was kind of there with Forza.
but that was more of a display. They had like three screens for Forza, and people were queuing for like over an hour just to play 10 minutes of Forza. I mean, yeah, there's not a lot going on. I would like to see the industry kind of come around these events more.
I mean we got Forza at home, innit?
Yeah, you know, Forza released last week. So.
Wait a minute. We did ask the woman.
That's the thing, yeah.
He asked why one of the TVs looked more colourful with Forza, because it does generally look very flat. And she said it was to do with the time of the day, which is similar to Halo Infinite. So depending on the time of the day, the colours get muted most of the time of the day. And then sometimes where the colours are boosted. So that's the reason.
Did they say it was mid-morning? The middle screen? Mid-morning time they set the race to, and that's why it looks so good.
It can't be mid-morning. That would be like...
No, that's what she said it was called, mid-morning.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, generally you talk about the golden hour where you got all the good colours. Do you know what I mean? When you've got midday, it's kind of washed out, muted, you know? So because you got the sun at its brightest. So, I don't know, but depending on the time of the day, like you said, mid-morning, as you referred to, that's when it gets colourful. But I'd rather it's colourful all the time, you know what I mean? That's what me and the game
I 100% agree with that. I will agree with that. Anyway, we need to talk about some of the games that were there. We did start playing Super Mario Bros. Wonder. That game looks terrific. It's one of the best-looking Mario games I think I've ever seen. The only issue I have with Mario Bros. Wonder is the fact that it's slow. Gameplay is pretty slow.
No. You're supposed to explore the environment, and don't forget, it's
You are meant to explore, and I know it's not Sonic, but I will say the way that Mario walks, right, the way when you transform especially into the elephant, you're kind of plodding along.
No, but did you hold the button down to run?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes. I know I play video games, dude. I've been doing it for 35 years.
Anyway, I did like the effects in the game, especially the pipes bending and all that. They're really pushing the Switch hardware. I have to say, for a 2D Mario game, it is possibly the best-looking 2D Mario game ever created.
I will agree with that. The only issue I have with Mario Bros. Wonder is that it is kind of slow in moving across the screen. There's no option to run like you could in previous Mario games.
Well, we didn't get there, but you get that mushroom where you get high, so he takes the magic mushroom, doesn't he? That's what it is, really. Yeah, let's be honest. Yeah. And then, so, I guess that this Mario is high all the way through the game, maybe.
Yeah.
That's why it's
slow. I mean, I did play the first three levels. You only get about 10-15 minutes in the total game. So, for that demo anyway, so you only get to play the first 10-15 minutes. I did get to about third level in, and I had to stop because I was looking at the queues and people waiting. I felt kind of guilty.
But I left him and I got friendly with the staff there, and it was quite good. And we started talking about different games, and Nintendo's history is pretty good. And
I will say the event staff they brought in for this are really very, very knowledgeable. So if you want to have talks to them about Nintendo stuff, they know what they're doing, know what they're talking about.
And I kept trying to put they gave a free Mario hat, and I kept trying to put it on, and it kept ripping up. So in the end, they done it for me.
Yeah. There was a lot of people with Mario hats in there as well. Yeah. The amount of people wearing that paper Mario hat was insane. If we'd got enough of a bird's eye shot of just like people's heads, like from front to back, it would just be Mario everywhere.
But I look like gangster Mario.
Yeah, we are going to be posting videos and pictures and stuff.
You want to see me popping out? There's a pipe, a warp pipe, and I jumped out the pipe. Yeah, that was so funny. Do you remember that?
Of course I remember that. You put it on Facebook. It keeps coming up every 5 minutes. And tag me in it as well.
We'll put that on the website. I'll do a special version. You know, you wanted me to do my shout out, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, well, that's what you should have done when we had the video challenge.
The pipe said, it's to me, Mario. Woohoo! Like that.
Yeah. You should have done that when we were there, actually, because that would have been good content. But the whole Nintendo thing was mainly just Mario Wonder. I will say I do like Mario Wonder. I think it is probably the best-looking Mario game I've ever seen. Definitely the most colourful. The
moving around and the mechanics and everything are just brilliant. The only issue I don't like is that Mario does move kind of slow. There's no option to run either. You can run, but it's not very quick.
There's an emphasis on exploration with multiplayer. Because if everyone's running fast,
there was no multiplayer available on the build we were playing.
Wasn't there?
No. Oh. Everything was single player. You can't connect to the person next to you, for instance.
Right. Okay.
You could have one or two player in there while you were playing. If you wanted to play with a friend at that screen, you could.
By your side, yeah.
Couch, but you can't go play with somebody else on like the other stand or whatever.
It was two player couch co-op on offer.
Yeah.
That was there.
Yeah. Sega though had a bunch of games. They had obviously Like a Dragon Gaiden, who Kiro this year is being voiced by YouTuber Yong Ye. Shout out to Yong. There was also Infinite Wealth, which is like the turn based version, where it's basically based in Hawaii.
Do you know what? We played that, and there was a boss that was a bent copper, and he had a gun that reminded me of the boss in Final Fight. Do you remember the one with the gun?
Yes.
I really enjoyed it. I mean,
I do really want to play that story through. I want to see what the story's like, because from the mission you have, I mean, even though it's turn-based, it is kind of still open world. You have the city, you have three different regions that we had on offer you could go explore. It's very much Yakuza. Thankfully, it's not Yakuza as in you're stuck to the same area, because you take a taxi and you can go to any part of the island you want, and it's vastly different from the other parts.
But when we say turn-based, you can still move during your turn.
Yeah.
So you still got movement. The closer
turn-based, I mean, it's kind of like linear. Like, you're not all standing in a row, is what I'm saying.
But you take turns, and in your turn, you can move within a circle radius. And then the closer you are, you can attack the enemy. But you can also do tag battle moves as well. So if you're near another enemy...
And triple team as well.
I've done that. I saw you do that as well. I was trying to talk to you, but then you had noise-cancelling headphones on.
Yeah, I couldn't hear anything.
You were in the game.
I think I was also the first person to beat that whole demo. Like, I was done within 5 minutes, and I was just running around the map looking at everything.
But what pisses me off, though, is they don't have speech throughout the whole thing. There's a lot of text. Yeah? I don't know why they just don't voice over the whole game.
Yeah, I mean, you've got voiceover in Gaiden, though. The whole of Gaiden's voice, but there's no voices.
In this, there's bits of voiceover, with the cutscenes and that, but then during the gameplay, a lot of the gameplay is a bit like Fire Emblem Fire Emblem Engage. So you got a little bit of voice, then it's all text.
Yeah,
so you might have one.
I hate that as well. It's really irritating. Yeah. Even if it was just in Japan, in Japanese, I would have rather preferred that rather than reading lines of dialogue.
I know, man. It's just messed up. Like, I don't know.
And the thing is, with also the combat system, I will say this, Kiro is massively overpowered.
He is massively overpowered. Yeah, but do you know what? That could be the demo, though. You know what I'm saying? So,
He's got like a basic power up. Like, everybody's got power ups. Basically, your four characters you have in your team all got power ups. But Kiro, you don't need to like build a meter up. As soon as it's his turn, you just hold down R2 and you can just literally just smash everyone in the room. And there's no barriers to it as well. So you don't need to be within the circle because he just goes ballistic. And he literally will destroy every enemy. I use that over and over and over again to beat everybody down. Like, automatically just jump to Kiro. I can't even remember the lead character with the afro. I can't even remember his name off the top of my head. You've obviously got this two, three companions. Kiro in this is old. He's not young Kiro. He's old Kiro. He's got the grey hair and the beard. But he's just massively OP. Like, you can't fail in a fight. If you've got Kiro in a power-up, just hold that down. He'll smash everybody, and then the fight's over. I beat that boss fight because of Kira as well, because I just kept hitting the guy until I weared him down. Then there was a cutscene, and then, like, when he's below half health, and then automatically you jump back into the same fight with just him. And
that obviously, jump back into Kiro, smash it down, and then fight over. It's really easy. Kiro is way too OP. They need to scale that back just a tad. But tag teams and triple teams and four-man finishes as well, all in there. Combat, I will say, I do not like the fact it is so, like, tightly turn-based, especially when you've got someone like Kiro. When you use his power, you don't have any restrictions at all. You can just go around the whole place and smash everyone. And yeah, there's a lot to Infinite Wealth looks amazing. It looks incredible. The game is beautiful to look at. Really, really nice weather and lighting effects. Visually, it's just stunning. Combat's fun. It's very realistic as far as what you can throw, what you can do, like the kicks and stuff. Beautiful looking, right? The whole game is just beautiful to look at. No voice acting, though, kind of feels like a missed opportunity, because you have that in Gaiden. The whole of Gaiden is not only voiced in Japanese, it's voiced in English as well. They've got a voice cast this year for the whole of Life of Dragon Gaiden, the man who erased his name. But you don't have that in the same game that's releasing 2 months, 3 months after, which doesn't make any sense to me personally. I would have preferred they voiced both, because you've got technically the same group of characters in both.
Yeah, it's a bit silly, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit silly, and Kiro is massively OP. I will say he is really, really just he just wiped everybody out. Mana erased his name. Gorgeous looking game. We didn't get to play too long of that, but I will say there is a lot that I'm very interested in, like a Gaiden or like a Dragon game. I can call it like a game. I'm just going to refer to it as Yakuza, but yeah, there's a Sega really came out with a lot of great stuff this year. Sonic Superstars as well looks terrific. Personally, I'd like Sonic Superstars. I know there's a lot of people that are rating it 8s and 9s. I'd say that's probably fair, 8 and 9. I wouldn't go any higher than that, and I wouldn't go any lower than that, in my opinion. Callum is doing a review of Sonic Superstars. He has got a code for Sonic Superstars.
That's why I was doing that.
Yeah, you are. He bought it himself, though. He didn't wait to send him one.
Can I review as well?
Yeah, I mean, I've told him you're doing that because he's got other stuff to do. And we have got other games coming out, including Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. The beta's out right now. I did not bother with Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 simply because I've been playing the beta, so I'm not interested in what they were showing, because essentially what they had there during EGX was the beta. There was no single player, there was no reveals, there was nothing. It was just what they'd already released to the public. So if you're playing the beta, if you're interested in Call of Duty, even if you're in the UK, you can play on Xbox, PC and PlayStation this weekend. No issues, no problems. It's exactly the same as EGX. I'm not interested in Call of Duty that much. I know Callum is. I'm not interested in the multiplayer. I wanted to see the single player stuff, and the single player stuff is not available. So when it comes to Call of Duty, I'm kind of standoffish. I'm not really interested. But yeah, I mean, they need to cult the lines and stuff. They were ridiculous anyway, so I wasn't really going to stand.
I like the COD. I like COD's campaign modes.
Yeah, that's one sort of like story stuff. I'm not interested in the multiplayer. I don't play with people. When I play games, I play on my own. You guys know this. I've always heard this before. But yeah, I am more interested in the multiplayer.
But I like playing multiplayer, Splatoon, Mario Kart, Forza, all that. I like that.
Yeah, when it's not like public open multiplayer, then I'll play it. If I'm playing with other three people I know, I'm okay. But as far as actually getting on with like random strangers and stuff and trying to do battles, it just doesn't interest me in the slightest. I want to play with it on my own, usually. Unless I'm playing with friends, then yeah, I'll be alright. But yeah, the Call of Duty stuff, if you're worried that you missed anything at EGX, you didn't. You can go play at home and
the experience is exactly. You know, what kind of got me is that a lot of the stuff there is already out.
So yeah, that's another thing as well. I'm going to be speaking to EGX this week because I do think there's a lot we can help with. Because there is a lot of developers and publishers in the EU specifically who don't go to these events simply because there's no call for it in the UK. WAS mainly do game reveals from the UK directly. They don't bring publishers in from the US. EGX kind of feels like a missed opportunity because you've got PAX, you've got, you know, Summer Games Fest, which is in LA, you've got the Game Awards, all these places are in the US. But nobody ever comes to the UK to do this stuff. So really, Repop, I think EGX might be the place to kind of bring all those companies that can't afford to buy a stand, that can't, you know, do big gameplay reveals, or maybe haven't thought about coming to EGX because they haven't been invited. It's kind of our way of bringing them here, because I know we wanted to do an event previously and we were looking at it, but it's not something we could feasibly afford at that point, because it would have cost us probably in excess around £30,000-£50,000. We don't have the budget for that for just a single event. So I think we're gonna be in contact with EGX and see if we can do something now for next year, as well as like something bigger, because I do think EGX is kind of the place to do it. There needs to have more of a spectacle and attraction. Hopefully, as well, if we are closer with our own game development and we've got a trailer or a demo ready, we will be at EGX anyway next year as Buzzsaw, that is the parent company, showing off our first game. So that'll be interesting. There is also a lot of guys there. I know a lot of the big higher ups don't go to this event. Shout out to Thomas Salah. I did see Bulwark was there as well. Gory Cuddly Carnage from Wired was there. They had Tin Hearts VR from Wired. Shout out to Wired. We absolutely love you guys. You're a terrific publisher. They make some of the best indie games imaginable. And yeah, unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of the developers weren't there. There were remote playing. There was no developers. It was event staff. And not that I'm bashing any event staff, mind you, but you know, I want to speak to the developers. I want to interview them. And if there's nobody there to interview, it's kind of a wasted journey for us, because a lot of the games, as we said, we've already seen. We've already played. We've already had news on. We've already had previews and, you know, been to people's offices and had a look at their game and stuff. We've already done all of it. So, and a lot of stuff there we've already reported on. So there's nothing really we can expand on as far as what's already there. There's no groundbreaking news. And I think that's where EGX is kind of missing the mark. It's because when you go to Summer Games Fest, you've got news coverage. You've got things that you can cover. When you go to PAX, there's usually like world premieres and stuff. When you go to, obviously, Game Awards, you're going to have big awards. Gamescom even has big, big world premiere reveals. You don't have that at EGX. Well, I mean, WASD is great because it's so small. You can, like, the building itself, it feels compact because they've packed the building out and filled the space. EGX is obviously at the XL, which can hold 500,000 people at once. And they're not filling that, because not 500,000 people are going to EGX, so therefore you have to be fill it with other stuff. And that does not necessarily mean fill it with more charities and restaurant bars, because that just, it's not interesting. There does need to be more stuff there. Quick thing though, Shinobi, what was your highlight from EGX this year?
I think it was meeting Benjamin and Callum. It was funny, you know.
I really remember those guys. They are brilliant.
Yeah, they're really cool. I'd say, to be honest, the games, because most of them are out, or Mario One Day is out in about a week anyway, for me, it was seeing all the cosplay. Yeah, there were so many different costumes, and some people were pretty, you know, they went all out, you know what I'm saying? So, I really liked that. And I don't know, for me, it was just, I haven't been in these shows for a long time. Well, we did go to the other one. What was that one?
Yeah.
But this one, it kind of made me remember ECTS and what was the other one? Eurogame Expo.
Yeah, that's EGX now. That's what you're calling now,
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. I don't know where my brain is. Well, I remember when they had the big one, and they had, was it Earls Court? Yeah,
they used to hold it in Earls Court years ago.
So, it kind of reminded me, ever since it went to XL, it never really hit the scale of Kensington Olympia with ECTS or Earls Court with Eurogamer Expo, now it's, for the first time, I felt that it was kind of coming close to that. Although those ones were bigger, it's still a bit scaled down, and I think you know, I miss the days that you'd have a Microsoft stand, like with Xbox, you'd have a PlayStation stand, you'd have Nintendo going all out with their stand as well. All of them will go all out. Nintendo and Sony would definitely go all out, yeah. I miss the extravagant stands that they had, you know. I miss all that. And this EGX may not be up to that standard, but it was getting closer to it. And I think that, it brought back some pleasant memories. So I just enjoyed the overall vibe, just walking through it and getting a blast of the past. What do you think?
Yeah, I will agree. It's nice to kind of take it, like taking a trip down memory lane a little bit. It is kind of sad for me, though, to see that EGX isn't as big as it once was, because it was one of the first events I ever went to as a kid, when I first started properly getting into actually buying video games and playing them myself. And I do think it's kind of fallen off, and I do think a large part of that is COVID, and I think a large part of that is the fact that Summer Games Fest and Game Awards and stuff, they now exist, where it's all digital, so people don't need to shell out £20 and pay travel and get hotels and stuff to go to these events anymore. It sucks, because there's nothing like going to see games and playing them yourself. There's nothing like meeting developers, and I do think that was a problem as well with a lot of developers, is that they didn't turn up themselves. They sent staff to do it. And a lot of the staff there were event staff and not developers, like there was with Call of Duty. Activision had literally nobody there at all, which just felt like a big letdown, because I wanted to interview the developers. There was a lot of questions I had about Call of Duty this year and the way that the future under Xbox and things like that, and what they were planning to do with future releases of Call of Duty. And like I have like a million and one questions for Activision, and they had nobody there. The event staff they had there was also quite rude. He wouldn't talk to us. And they were basically passing us around. It's like, well, this is not a way to treat press, for starters. You're not winning yourself any favours also. Like, I wanted to meet at least one developer, just like 5 minutes of conversation. I would ask him a couple of questions. Nobody. Nintendo had nobody there, which is kind of a letdown. You had nobody talking. There was no talks with Nintendo staff. Sega last year, they had a couple of people there. This year, absolutely no one. Again, event staff, mainly. Majority is event staff. Like, this is not the... Like, you could do this if it was... Like, C-Smash, obviously, they've worked really ridiculously, and they're a small team. I understand why the executives aren't there. I get that, because they've been there 2-3 days non-stop. It's now Saturday. They've got other projects to work on. They now got back and they've got to do other personal stuff, and they got found with this weekend. I get that. But they're a small team. You look at them, Activision or Nintendo, they have studio exec, they have like hundreds of executives. There are hundreds of developers, thousands even in some cases, and they couldn't spare one person, a couple of people over a course of a weekend. Even if they just rotated them out, send a couple of people down, have a chat with press, with, you know, with fans, with players. Meet people, talk to them. They didn't do any of that. There was nobody there to talk to. And that sucks. Because you're really missing the beat. This is why Summer Games Fest and, you know, PAX and other places aren't doing as well as, you know, the bit like the Game Awards and stuff. When you have smaller events, you have developers there. But when you go to somewhere like EGX, there's nobody. And that just feels like a big letdown, because we didn't get to talk to anyone. There was no one to interview. I mean, yeah, we could have interviewed some of the indie developers, but again, we've covered everything they're going to say. We've already reported on it. When it comes to the big games, when there are stuff there that they haven't mentioned, and this is their opportunity to get this out, like with the big reveals and stuff, go there and speak about it. Make those announcements, because then you actually have a physical connection with your audience. That's why people love places like BlizzCon and, you know, Warcraft events and things like that, when they can go in costume and meet the developers and ask them questions. You can't do that at EGX, and that's why I think EGX is starting to fall off, because you haven't got that close fan reaction as you had in previous years. This is why Gamescom at the moment is so popular, because a lot of the developers are flying to Germany, where they don't come from, so they have to go to these events, which is why people get to meet them, and they're becoming more popular. EGX kind of need to factor that into that rule.
the theatre they had as well, they kind of put it behind closed curtains. You had to queue for an hour to go listen to somebody speak. It was a panel, so you don't really get to ask them questions. And so those three arseholes that were shouting obscenities at those three women, I will find out who you are, and I'm going to put you on the website. We are going to make you look stupid. We do this every year when this stuff comes out. We did this at PAX last year when somebody tried slipping drugs into people's drinks. We will be covering this as well. But this will be big coverage. We're in post later this week when we actually get videos up and everything, all the photos. But keep an eye out for that. That's going to do it for this week in the Talking Heads podcast episode. It's 117 this week now, isn't it? Yeah. Thank you very much, Mr. Shinobi, for joining me, dude. I know I've gone on for a little bit for the last 5-6 minutes.
No. It's quite cool, man. I'd have to say, to round off things, I don't think we've had this much fun in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was probably one of the most fun events we went to.
I mean, I love Wes, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I know Wes follows us on Twitter and that, and I've talked to the organisers there. Wes is very fun, but it also feels very enclosed.
It feels
very small compared to what EGH used to be. I mean, they're kind of climbing. They've moved into a bigger building this year, whereas last year they were in downstairs, where it was a lot smaller and was very, very tightly compacted. It was like one single floor. But this year they moved into the larger space at the Truman Brewery, and it was, I mean, because they're building in size and they're going up, but EGX is constantly in the XL. They have been for several years, and because there's not a lot going on, it feels very dead.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And it may be a time for EGX to kind of move out of the XL, find a, go back to Wells Court or, you know, Knightsbridge, go into those smaller venues. And host it there if you haven't got a lot to do, because you're spending an exorbitant amount of money for really nothing.
Yeah, I did kind of feel that. Yeah, I felt, you know how much it ranges from about £24 to £80 a ticket.
Yeah,
that's quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a lot for a ticket. I mean, Wes is about £20, £19.99 for a ticket to get into there.
Yeah, even that's expensive, I remember. But I guess, you know, their numbers are a lot lower. But back in the day, it was like £8, £10, £15. You know what I mean? Now it's like, you're talking £24, which is quite a lot.
I understand why they're charging that as well, because it is £500,000 just to rent that room in EGX. That's before you've even paid for electricity or water.
Yeah, but I think there should be, like, reduced tickets, but I think the gaming companies, like Microsoft, all that, I think they used to sponsor these events as well, yeah? So, because they are promoting their games to the general public, yeah? So I think something like that needs to get in order to reduce the public fee of entrance. I mean, imagine you paid £24 to £80 to go and see games that you already have.
Yeah.
And then there's no big Sony stand. There's no big Microsoft stand. Yeah. What are you paying for? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you could do a Tekken tournament.
I mean, you mean the big two, three major publishers there.
Yeah.
There's Ubisoft, Nintendo, and Activision.
Yeah.
Sega, 4. But you've got like 20 big publishers. No EA. Where was EA this year? Where's Gearbox? Where's Take-Two? You could have done, they could have bought Rockstar North.
Yeah, they could have, yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff they're working on. Do some reveals.
But you know what?
Close behind door baiters. Like,
exactly, nothing. Yeah. Because before, you would go, you would see games that weren't out. You know, you know, you would see games that were way before release. Yeah?
Yeah.
You get to test them out and all that, yeah? Now what? Mario Wonder's coming in a week. Or, like, you know, they're playing Street Fighter 6, which is out ages ago. And then Tekken, the new Tekken game. And then you got, like, what was it? The, what's the other one? Like a Dragon.
Yeah.
Which one was that? The
You had Infinite Wealth and the man who erased his name.
Yeah, the man who erased his name, yeah. Is that out?
No, next month.
What, the man who erased his name?
Yeah, comes out in November.
Uh-huh.
Infinite Wealth's not due out till January, though, so that's at least...
Man, there's so many of them, man. I'm getting confused, because wasn't there that Ishin one? Is it Ishin or whatever?
Ishin was the last one.
When did that come out? Ages ago?
Last year. We did a review on it. Callum did.
Oh my gosh, I'm just so lost. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, there is a lot of... I mean, they've basically taken... The Yakuza series was original. It was like, I think it was about 8-9 games. And then they've started calling it Like a Dragon and then started rebooting the series under different names. So now you don't know which is which. Now Infinite Wealth and Amano erased his name on new. Ishin was the last remake of Like a Dragon because they started calling it... Because it was Yakuza Like a Dragon and then they renamed it and called it Ishin.
Spawn from Shenmue?
No, it was the original series. It was originally a game in Japan. It was strictly Japan. And then somebody thought it would be a great idea to bring it to the West because then people would love it. Because they started having the like the big gangster craze in video games. And they started bringing games out like The Getaway and stuff. And somebody thought, bright idea, let's bring these games to the West. And they've done
really
well.
Yeah, but it's so Shenmue. And then you've got like Sega games in the... bloody hell. What's that? Like a Dragon? What?
Yakuza, like, what's it called? Yakuza is
no,
now.
No, the one we played yesterday. What was it called again?
Oh, Infinite Wealth.
Okay, Infinite Wealth, yeah. They've got loads of Sega arcade mini games in there, including Sega Bass Fishing. Yeah. So, that is very Shenmue. Because Shenmue put Sega games in
there. I think there's a lot of influence as well with that series. I think there's a lot of. I mean, you have to remember where Sega came from originally. There was rumours like Nintendo that they had Yakuza influences in their early days. And I think there's the whole Western, West love gangster movies. They love, you know, thrillers and mysteries and stuff. And there's no bigger mystery than a secret organisation. And technically, that's what the Yakuza is. And they're kind of playing off that need to learn more. And I think the way it's written is kind of silly and over the top. But at the same time, it's very realistic. It's very lifelike from what I've heard and seen about the organisation itself. But there is elements that obviously are completely over the top.
It's not
adult either. There's no like massive blood or anything. It can be rather camp and cringy. But
it's really, there's moments in it that are overly stupid.
Yeah.
But that's what makes a game. Yeah. And utterly ridiculous. Yeah. There's moments in the games. Yeah. So over exaggerated. Like I'm having a fight scene. Busting up some bears, yeah, and then what happened? I did my special move, and suddenly I put the guy in the car, drive him, hit the brake, the car flips over, I jump out, and it flies in the air, crashes, and blows up.
That triple team I did in Infinite Wealth yesterday, where there was three characters all kicking this guy, and for some reason we're in a bar, but then I get transported to the beach. And somehow, like, I'm throwing sandballs at him. Like, this is just, it's completely out of the field. Like, it's very, very silly. I guarantee you.
But it's very Japanese, isn't it? Because they're very wacky. Yeah.
RGG. I did see a couple of the RGG guys there. It's very, very silly. It's fun game.
The thing is that it's very Shenmue. Very Shenmue. The Yakuza series, for me, coming from Shenmue, is very Shenmue. Yeah, I mean, they're practically identical at their core.
I think the Shenmue games are kind of boring in comparison to the Yakuza ones. When you look up where Shenmue 3 is probably the best ones. When you actually play the first two, they're basically just walking simulators.
I got them on Dreamcast, man. They were sick. Number 3 I haven't played yet. I bought it, but I haven't played it. But number 1 and 2, I got them on Dreamcast. And all the other consoles after, mostly Xbox, yeah. But I have to say that I did enjoy them. When they came out on the Dreamcast, they were very revolutionary, and they were the most expensive games of their kind ever made. Yeah. I don't know, but I'm guessing a lot of the developers probably shifted over to the Yakuza crew because the games are practically identical at their core. The only difference is Shenmue is with, what was his name? Ryo or whatever. What's his name?
Yeah, I can't remember. You know, my memory's like with remembering games and people's names and stuff is terrible.
I can't. But it was Ryo Hazuki. Yeah. So basically, he was the main dude in there. You know, his dad got killed. Blah 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 blah. And Yakuza is more your Yakuza. You know what I mean? So it's the Japanese mafia. Yeah. And it's but at the core, the actual gameplay elements, the wackiness, the arcade parts, all of that. They're pretty much very similar, very similar. So it's nice to see that the game is still alive in Yakuza. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what's more similar is the mini games from Shenmue. They used to use Sega arcade games. They're putting them in Yakuza. So that you know, that's blatantly, you know, they got to have a mixture of the original development team and some new guys. So, but I'm definitely going to be playing more Yakuza games from now on.
Yeah, guaranteed. Anyway, we got to wrap up. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Make sure you keep an eye out on the website.
Yeah, don't forget our wacky pictures. We're going to
be posting pictures everywhere. And when this week, isn't it?
Yeah, and me jumping out a water pipe.
Yeah. We'll have all that on the website this week. A very GX coverage. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Don't forget to check out the website. Find us on all the socials. Apologies for the background noise. People are stupid with their flipping bikes and their dogs barking. But... we'll be back next week for episode 118. This has been your EGX coverage. Don't forget to check out the website for the video. And we'll speak to you soon. Take care. Peace.
Bye.
Laters, bro.
It's the Talking Games Podcast.